This is Kelly Needham, and you're listening to the Radical Radiance Podcast.
Hey, friends, welcome to another episode of the Radical Radiance Podcast. I'm your host, Rebecca George, and I am so excited to be joined by my new friend, Kelly Needham, today as we talk all about her newest book, Purpose Fooled. You are going to be so encouraged by this conversation, just as I was. We have been talking a lot about our purpose and our calling and how to see that in a biblical way this year as my book, Do the Thing, Gospel-Centered Goals, Gumption, and Grace for the Go-Getter Girl has released into the world. And when I heard about Kelly's book, I wanted to have her on because I think these two messages are distant cousins from one another, close cousins, I should say, and our hearts are just very similar for this topic. And so I know you're going to be encouraged by her, and just know that this resource pairs really well with Do the Thing as well. So Kelly's a new friend. I was excited to get to know her. So welcome our new friend, Kelly, to the show. Kelly, welcome to the show. I am so excited to get to sit down and chat with you today.
Thanks, Rebecca, so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I love the conversation we get to have today, and our people will too, because I feel like, and I told you this before we hit record, I feel like we have very similar hearts, and the book that you just released, although they're different messages, I feel like they're distant cousins in a sense, and so I know we're passionate about a lot of the same things. So although we're new friends, I've been really excited about our chat today. And so I always love starting by just having our guests share kind of the story behind the story. People have heard me say this a million times, but what I love is just how God orchestrates things even so intricately in, even in like an industry, right? For example, like during 2020, I was working on a message that the world wouldn't see until this year, and God knew that, right? But I think what we were walking through prepared my heart in some senses to craft that message. And so it's just interesting to see how and when and why God leads us to certain messages. And so I would love to hear that about Purpose Fooled.
Yeah. Well, Purpose Fooled, the message in this book really began in the first years of my marriage, which was a long time ago now, 17 years.
Yeah.
Being thrown into kind of the deep end of public ministry life with my husband, who I thought I was marrying somebody who was going to be like a history teacher. That was like plan A.
And then
curveball, he gets an offer from a label in Nashville to be signed as an artist. And, you know, we say yes to that. And I have a finance degree. So I just kind of start doing all the behind the scenes work. It fit really well. And it sounded great on paper. And then I'm like, you know, at these events, and just standing next to the line of people who want his autograph, and they're telling me, you know, I'm just being, here's a camera, take our picture. And I'm like, what is happening? How did I become the like sidekick to this whole thing? And I really, for the first time in my life, though I had no real big, quote unquote, big dreams or goals for my life, began to ask, is what I'm doing meaningful? Because I'm, you know, right next to this guy who I love, who's preaching the gospel every night, and people are getting saved and transformations happening. And I'm over here learning how to work a credit card machine and booking flights and talking to promoters and, you know, folding t-shirts. And it doesn't really, it's necessary. It has to get done, but it doesn't feel very important or meaningful. It doesn't feel like it's utilizing my unique skill set or passions for the kingdom. So like, what do I do with that? I really began to wrestle with those ideas then. And through multiple seasons of children and all sorts of ups and downs, my life's had all sorts of weird, you know, I've released a book before this, so I've had some of those like more traditionally cool look impactful things, and then lots of behind the scenes things. And through all of that, it's just me wrestling with the Lord and asking him these questions that were on my heart. And that's really what has produced what people are holding their hands now.
Yeah, I love that. Well, and as you're unpacking that, something that's on my mind that I'm dwelling on a lot and thinking about a lot and writing a lot about, so hint, hint, nod, nod to my next book, it's just like, what do we do with the moments where our story isn't quite playing out like we imagined it would, right? So often, and I know men struggle with this as well, but I hear it a lot in conversations with women that, like, I just feel behind. I feel behind. I feel behind on having kids. I feel behind on my next season of life. And I just wonder, how would you speak to that? Like, having walked through a story that maybe didn't look exactly like you would have imagined and you were navigating, I didn't think I'd be running a credit card machine and folding t-shirts to the glory of God, right? Like, what do we do with those moments in our lives?
Yeah. Well, I think the reason those moments are so challenging for us is we live in a culture that's telling us we are the author of our own story.
Amen, sister.
we really can achieve and accomplish and do whatever we want. So dream it up and go do it. And honestly, in some ways, more than any other era in history, our technology has given us access to do that. I mean, even with books, we've both written books. It used to be you needed access to publishers and agents to do that, but now you just need an Amazon seller account and Amazon will print that thing and send it out to people for you, which is awesome. And is really a tool being used by God. I don't mean to demonize that. I just to say the opportunities that are available to us say something to us. Oh, I can be in charge of my own story and I can go do these things. So then when life is, when we feel behind, when we feel like it's not working out, when we feel like we have this curveball thrown at us, it feels really hard for us to receive. We feel like we've done something wrong, or we feel like we need to overcome that thing. And then we exhaust ourselves trying to maybe extend ourselves in a season that we shouldn't be. But ultimately, if the Bible's true, then the author of my story is the Lord. Right? You know, in Psalm 139, David says, before I lived a day, they were written down in his book. And am I willing to let myself be second fiddle to him, right? Am I willing to let myself move away from the hero protagonist role in my life and let him take that place? And can I fade into the background of his glory, even in my own life? When I am able to do that, it's liberated me with those kind of unexpected seasons to embrace them, even if they're not my favorite. I can still say, it's not my favorite, but this is what God has set in front of me right now. It's not what I planned, but could I receive it from his hand and run this leg of my race well for his glory?
Psst. Did you know that my debut book, Do the Thing, Gospel-Centered Goals, Gumption, and Grace for the Go-Getter Girl, is available wherever you like to buy books? I wrote it just for you, friend. So if you are ready to see your gifts and talents from a gospel-centered perspective, prioritize goals related to your calling as you move forward with gumption and grace, maximize your passions in the work you do every day, actively partner with God to serve him and love others, and overcome negative thought patterns so you can brainstorm, develop, and create with the confidence of a go-getter girl. If that sounds like you, then I want you to order today at the link in the show notes below. Each chapter includes prayer prompts, scripture for further study, questions for reflection, action steps to move your goal forward, and accompanying videos for individual or small group discussion. So grab a friend or 12 and let's use God's word as our compass to do the thing. After all, if not now, when? One of my greatest joys is having the opportunity to come share God's word at women's events, retreats, and conferences. I'm booking speaking engagements for this year and next year and would love to chat with you about your church's next event. Shoot me an email at hello@radicalradiance.live to start a conversation today.
That's right. Yeah, that's so good. And something I see us struggle with a lot as well is navigating through the gray balance between, did God put this on my heart or is this selfish ambition? Mm-hmm. And I really sense this like stirring up in me, but is it wrong to chase my dreams?
Right.
How do I discover my calling?
Mm-hmm.
How do I know that this is right for my season? Like those tensions when maybe somebody, maybe it's not necessarily the woman, you know, that we were just speaking to that she really feels like this is a hard season, but maybe it's the girl who is really asking the Lord for wisdom and discernment on her next step. And mm-hmm. she's trying to discern, like, is this the Lord or is this selfish ambition? How would you encourage her?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's possible to discern that without community. So yeah. What it's worth, I have not stepped into any new season of any kind, more children, adoption, which we have two adopted kiddos, writing books, having a blog, podcasting, right? All that has come through me processing that within my own local church community who knows me and is watching those things unfold. You know, I said this earlier, I have a finance degree. I did not ever expect to be writing. It was not something I enjoyed growing up. And it was through community that people began to see in me those things, mm-hmm. kind of a unique skill set for that, and would draw that out of me and say, hey, I think you should do that more. I'm seeing that bless people. And I was first doing that within my own community of believers. I really do think it's in the body as we live and serve in our local spaces that we come to see what we actually are good at and what God is behind. Because sometimes we have a dream to do a thing and we go do it and it actually isn't what we thought. We don't enjoy it like we thought we would. We don't always know what's best for us. I think it's in community that really gets brought to life. And we get mm-hmm. to see those things come out. And it also provides a lot of comfort, right? It's a weird thing to say I want to write a book. And it was friends of mine with my first book who were looking at me going, Kelly, it feels very obvious to us that this is a task God has set before you to do. And I know you don't want to do it. You're scared of it. It has cost on your life. We've got your back. We'll help watch your kids. We believe God's calling you to this. Go do it. And that community support helped me when I felt fearful. Am I just trying to like bolster my own fame? I don't want that.
Yeah.
I would listen to them and go, okay, I didn't chase this down. This is something God has set before me. Help me do it, Lord, you know, for your glory. So I think that's a big part of this conversation that culturally we're trying to do it in isolation. And I think that's unhelpful in the end.
Yeah, I do too. And I think we've all faced moments, and I talk about this a lot, where maybe we've decided to be brave and take that courageous step of sharing, like, hey, I feel called to write and speak, or I feel called to X, Y, or Z. And maybe we didn't get the response from someone in our lives that maybe we were hoping for. And that sometimes mm-hmm. doesn't happen perfectly with like confetti poppers and everything. And maybe we feel disappointed when we walk away. And so then we have this fear moving forward and letting people in to what mm-hmm. God is doing. And in the same way, Kelly, in those moments in my own life, they've challenged me to flip the coin a little bit and be so keenly aware of how I steward those moments when other people come to mm-hmm. me mm-hmm. wanting to share what God is doing in them. Mm-hmm. Right. Because I think while we're talking about, you know, walking out our own calling and being faithful in that today, like that's the bulk of our conversation. I also just want to say out loud that it's on my mind. Like we have the opportunity to be a part of that mm-hmm. with other fellow followers of Christ. And that's a gift to like mm-hmm. call those things out in the yes. people around us. So not only are we not called to walk in isolation as we mm-hmm. take those next steps, but we have just such a great opportunity to be a cheerleader for others. And so I don't know, has that like stirred up in you as well as you've kind of walked out your own calling?
Yes. Well, I think as people have encouraged me, strengthened me, and affirmed me in certain lanes that I'm running in, it's been good to look around my own church community. And when I see someone in a lane that they're thriving, it feels very natural and easy for them to just speak that into them. Go, hey, I watched how you navigated that difficult conversation in the lobby with this person. I watched the ease at which you interact with younger generations, or I watched how you were able to assess the needs in this particular setting in an instant and organized a solution for that. And to just call that out in somebody, I think you're gifted for that. And I'm praying for more opportunities for you to serve our body that way. I think it's good and right for us to be doing that for one another, because usually you can't see it in yourself. And also to then celebrate whatever way God wants to use that. I think it's really tempting to take the world's measuring stick as a type of here's what is significant. And our world uses numbers and data. But, you know, God looks at Gideon and Judges and is like, you have too many people. It's like, he's totally backward. Then Wes, it's like, there's too many. And Gideon's feeling like there's already not enough. And you're telling me there's too many.
That's right.
Okay. Now what's going on? And God shrinks his army by like something like 97% down to this tiny little minuscule thing. Because God is not after our glory, but his. And so
that's right.
It reminds me too, when I'm encouraging and affirming people, that if I see a woman in my church who's like gifted for teaching, which I actually help run a teaching program for women at our church. So we're often doing that. Identifying that and going, hey, we'd love to equip you with that. I see this in you. Yeah. I see the ease at which you handle God's word, how passionate you are to go deep in it. I love that. I'd love to cheer you on, help you grow more equipped in that. That's so important. But then also I feel a burden to say to that same woman, you run hard with this gift. And that may mean that you are teaching your children in this next season. And that's it. And that may mean you're going to lead a couple of groups for us at our church. Or that may mean that you're going to use these gifts at the nonprofit that you work at and how you write. And you just, we have such a narrow view sometimes of how God has wired us, how it needs to be expressed. This very small slice of things that can be thrown up on Instagram. That's where we kind of gravitate. Yeah. It's what we're seeing. But there's a million other outlets for the things God has put in us. But if we don't celebrate them, we don't gravitate toward them. And so I find it to be important for me to help people see that in my life. Book. Okay. It's one small way my teaching wiring is coming out. That's one small percentage. And it might be the most visible. But by and large, I'm using that kind of natural inclination to use communication and teaching. It's showing up very rarely in that way, right?
Sure.
A lot more in other spaces.
That's right. Yeah. No, that's so good. I love that. And you've alluded to this several times so far, but I want to call out kind of that phraseology of the title of the book. So it's called Purpose Fooled. Mm-hmm. And so I would love for you to tell us more about, like, what do you mean by that term? What does it mean to be purpose fooled? Have you been purpose fooled? I mean, you've shared a little bit with us, but like, define that a little more for us and walk us through that.
Yeah. I definitely have been. That's, you know, been an experience that the Lord has graciously like helped me out of. And I think that the main way that I see myself falling into missteps when it comes to my purpose in my own life and in others is we attach our purpose too often to what we're doing. My purpose is to do blank. My purpose is to do this. And while it's right to say, the Bible's very clear on this in 1 Corinthians 12, we are all uniquely wired and gifted, and we have a role to play in the body, 100%.
Yeah.
But is that why I was made? And what happens in seasons where I'm moving into the last season of my life and I'm bedridden? What happens when my child's sick and I become a caregiver? What happens when I have a child who's disabled born to me who won't do much in their life but receive care? Do they have no purpose? And obviously we would say, no, that's not true.
Yeah.
But if we attach purpose to accomplishment and achievement and doing, then that's a problem because we've now isolated a big swath of the world. There are believers in other countries who have no option of what they would like to do with their life. They're either just surviving or living in poverty or whatever. And they are uniquely gifted for their time and space to be a part of God's kingdom for sure. But I would say their purpose and mine is the same, that we weren't made to do something. We were made for someone, that we were made for a person. Our purpose is a person and his name is Jesus. And we are at his disposal to be used by him however he sees fit. And that is what has liberated me to find joy in every season and every moment, and also to take a lot more risks and to work really extra hard because I no longer need the work to be okay. Writing doesn't make me okay. I'm made for him. So writing is an overflow. Whether it comes or goes, it's there or not, great. Yeah. Do I prefer some verbs more than others in my life? Yes. But even when my day is full of the ones I don't like, if the Lord has set it before me and my purpose is him, man, how freed am I now to live that day with the same amount of purpose as if I were using every unique thing at my disposal, speaking on a stage or writing a book or whatever. Those things matter too. Mm-hmm. But so do the days that are full of things that don't seem as lovely to us, if it's true that we were made for him.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so powerful. And we all have to remember that. And that kind of becomes a daily choice, right? Because we're surrounded by opportunity each and every day to fix our eyes on everything and anything but Jesus.
That's right.
And anything and everything but our ultimate call to go and make disciples. Jesus made it real clear as followers of him what our end game is here, this side of heaven, right? And so I wonder, in this season even, you know, being everything that a book launch season is, which I now know and understand and have sympathy for, what's helping you make that choice every day? Right? Like, what's helping you stay fixed on him in this season in that way?
Yeah. Well, time with him more than anything else. Yeah. Because, you know, if my purpose is him, if my purpose is a person, then that means the knowing of him in my life is actually more important than the doing for him. He doesn't actually need me to do anything. It is his delight to loop me into what he's doing, of course, but he's not leaning on me. It's the other way around. I'm leaning on him.
That's right.
I have to find touch points with him in my day, even if it's a busy day. Even, you know, there are seasons, like we have a 9-month-old right now. And so that with book launch means that some mornings are just hectic.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to find moments in my day every day to just open my hands up or still my physical body to sit outside or to just sit myself on the floor where I can't be doing something else to just, God, you are here. Is it enough for me to know you? And if I don't feel like it is, I'm like, help me, Lord. I want it to be enough to just be with you, not to do something for you. Because the man after your own heart, David, who you look at and say, that guy gets it. When you read what his journals are full of, he's saying things like, I just want to be a doorman in the house of God, you know, above all things. I just want to see him. I just want to know him. I just want to be with him. His main aim in life was just let me sit with him, not let me accomplish for him. I just want to sit with him. And I'm just asking God every morning, could that be enough for me that I just have access to you? And where it doesn't feel like enough, please help me. And then help me receive from your hand everything you've set before me, every race you're calling me to run. And today is, you know, one example. It's like, it's a weird mix of, Lord, today you've given me an opportunity to talk with a new friend on a podcast. Lord, help me to do that well for your glory. And then I'm going to leave this and go downstairs and clean my dishes and engage with my two older daughters who have been downstairs reading books, and I'm going to pick up my baby and play with them. Lord, those are races you've set before me to run. Would you help me to do that well for your glory? Yeah. It's enabling me to straddle kind of the weird mix that's in my life and not give extra weight to one task just because my culture gives extra weight to it. And not to despise it because my culture gives extra weight to it and say, no, I won't do anything online. It's like, no, I can. It's fine. But it's not necessarily more important, you know. All things, when done for his glory, rise to a level of weighty significance when done for him. But again, it all comes back to, I've got to have moments with him in my day.
Yeah.
To look at him with the eyes of my heart, if that makes sense. Just, Lord, help me remember. It's about you.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. The metaphor that's coming to mind, and every metaphor falls short when we're trying to describe our like intimacy with the Lord, right? But for the sake of a picture, I think so many times I will think about my life and compartmentalize my life. A lot of us, you know, maybe struggle with this or relate to this, where maybe there's a big box and there's, you know, smaller boxes inside the big box that is our life. And we see our relationship with Jesus as one of those boxes mm-hmm. rather than seeing every assignment that he's placed before us, whether that be motherhood or working in corporate mm-hmm. America or making chicken tenders for our kids mm-hmm. or representing him well in the boardroom, like wherever he has us, wherever he's planted mm-hmm. our feet, that's an opportunity. Mm-hmm. That's an opportunity for us to glorify him. And so he's in all of those boxes,
yes.
right? And he is the big box. We are yes. here for his glory. And so every metaphor falls short, but that one really helps me almost have a paradigm shift in the way that yeah. I'm thinking about my relationship with him. And so
yes.
I hope that's helpful.
Yes. Well, and that's what allows us to keep Jesus as Lord and not our work as Lord.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
if I attach my purpose to my doing, then I have to do that thing to be okay. And it becomes what drives
that's right.
me. But then like, you know, one of my favorite stories is in Acts chapter 8, where Philip is preaching and there's like revival happening. Many people are getting saved. And then it's like right after that says this, the Spirit told him to go down a desert road. So it's like,
yeah,
okay, can I do that? Do I live in such a way that like, but here's the hustle and bustle and people, lots of crowds are gathering. And what happens when God tells me, okay, I want you to stop that and go down this desert road. And of course we know Philip meets the eunuch there and he gets saved and God had purpose for that. But what would it have felt like to Philip? I'm leaving something that seems to be going well, God. People seem to be coming to know you, but you've now told me to go down this like road where no one is. Is that where you want me? And of course, Philip obeys because he yeah. follows the person of Jesus, not his activities. And that's the type of person I want to be. I want to be freed enough yeah. that when God says, stop, I can go, yes, Lord. And when he says, go, I can be like, great, let's do it. And know that he's not interested in wasting my time. Mm-hmm. That's not what he was doing with Philip. But again, it requires some yeah. trust and some sense of he dictates, not my preferred yeah. work outlets.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. That one will preach. I love that. That's so good. Okay. So there is a question that I ask every guest that comes on the podcast. And the name of the podcast, as you said earlier in the episode, is Radical Radiance. And so as I was really just praying and asking the Lord for his wisdom on what to name it and why, he kept leading me back to that verse in Psalm 34. It's verse 5. And it says, those who look to him are radiant and their faces shall never be covered in shame. Exactly what we just spent time talking about, which is yeah. so awesome. And so the question I love asking our guests in this season of your life is, what about Jesus in this season would you say makes you radiant?
Ooh, that's a good question. I love about my Jesus that he loves small things, small beginnings, small people. He loved children. If he created all things, that means he loves small flowers. You know, my yard has weeds in it that are weeds and they're annoying, but you look at them and they're flowers. It's like,
yeah,
it's a weed. How could it be worthy of the dignity of beauty, even though it's a weed? Mm. You would say it's worth that. He is grand and big, and I can see that in the constellations and in, you know, the mountain range. But he loves small things, and he is pleased to let them grow without a lot of eyes on them, and that makes him happy. And yeah. if that's who he is, then I feel really loved because my life is full of small things. You know, emails I send to one person and conversations I have with one neighbor. And they're not big and flashy, and no one will hear yeah. about it. And moments of sitting on the floor with a disobedient toddler, you know, and those are small things, but he loves small yeah. things. And that really brings me a lot of joy right now.
As yeah.
That is the season I'm in.
I love that. That's so good. Well, I want you to share with everybody, where can they connect with you? Where can they grab Purpose Fooled and all of those things after they finish this conversation?
Yeah. If you're interested in the book Purpose Fooled, you can go to purposefooled.com and find more about it, where you can get it, other resources related to it. And you can also follow me and my husband. We have a website called jimmyandkelly.com. We do some things together and kind of house all of our resources there. You can follow us on social media from there as well. So that'd be another place to get started.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, I am so thankful for you and this message that God's given you, and just that we finally got to connect. I feel like this has been a long time coming, and it's just great to get to sit and chat about one of my favorite topics. Mm-hmm. And so I'm grateful for you, friend. Thanks for coming on today.
Thanks so much, Rebecca.
I hope you enjoyed that conversation about Kelly's new book, Purpose Fooled. Go grab a copy of it and read it alongside my new book, Do the Thing, Gospel-Centered Goals, Gumption, and Grace for the Go-Getter Girl. And hey, if you listened to this episode and you thought of a friend along the way that you think this conversation would really encourage, why don't you share it with them? Tap the share button in your podcast app and send them a quick text, send them the episode, and then you guys can discuss it together. Also, did you know that we do a weekly newsletter where we share all about what we are giving you guys on the podcast in conversation and give you discussion questions and all sorts of things? If you go over to my website at radicalradiance.live and you sign up for any of the free resources underneath that tab, then you will be signed up for the email list that will send you those newsletters every week so that you can get the most out of these conversations. So I hope you'll do that, and I will be back with you next week for another amazing episode, and I will talk to you then.